like an all-inclusive resort for news, talk, and sports.
Why is the run gone?
Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
We'll gather around you and the party is on. Family and friends are here. Pull up a stump and set yourself down. Let me buy you all a beer. Because everybody loves the American campfire. Don't you hear it calling
you? Ted, you see, on this Ted Steve morning, Ted, your problem is the word fire. See, you're not with the climate dogma. Burning things are bad. See, that's the whole problem. This is why the folks in Davos don't like us. Joining us, and right now I've got somebody on the listener line and somebody on the newsmakers line, and as so often the case, I am the dumbest person in this conversation. So we're going to go to the listener line first. Dr. Bonner Cohen from the National Center for Public Policy Research and CFACT is on the guest line, but Dr. Clark is on the listener line first. Good morning, Dr. Clark. What's going on?
Hey, Joe. So before the break, you and your guests were discussing school choice and the Democrats fighting that.
Right.
Joe, I don't live in Virginia. I live in Alabama. In the state of Alabama, the teachers union is probably the most powerful political organization in the state. Now, if you give parents school choice, then schools compete for kids. If they have to compete for kids, they're going to have to compete for teachers, and that means merit pay, and that means the teachers' union becomes superfluous, and they're not going to give that power organization away without a fight. So that's the reason the Democrats fight school choice. It's not anything to do about better schools or what's good for the kids. It's what's good for political power.
Well, yeah,
and, I know you got somebody. Well, go ahead,
and let me just follow up on that, because it does tie in to the depopulation movement of the climate zealots and why they want to seemingly be like they're protecting the kids with their gun laws but not protecting the kids with their abortion laws. The discordance comes in the fact that they just want to be seen with the right stickers on their lapel, Dr. Clark. Sadly, If we realized, if the rank and file teachers realized what you said, and they probably do, there's hundreds of them for every union representative who makes three times as much as the average teacher. This paradigm would shift pretty quickly, because it's about teacher choice as much as it's about school choice.
They need to go all Marlon Brando from On the Waterfront. So one more thing, very quickly. In your conversation with Joel, you touched on stroke season, rabbit season, duck season.
Yes.
Okay. If we recall, it's been a couple months ago, before flu season, I think, the CDC floated the idea of cold showers causing peripheral vasoconstriction.
Wow.
Which led to these cardiac events.
Uh-huh.
Now, they're telling us something, Joe. We just got to listen. They're telling us they know that this is real. They know they have to come up with a reason for it, and it's not going to be spike proteins.
Anything but, right? Well, you know, well
That's
said.
That's what they're telling you.
And just for your news, so you can sit on this one as we go to Dr. Cohen, is that Moderna is now going to inject their mRNA inoculation shot, jab, whatever you want to call it, directly into your heart, because that couldn't go wrong. They figure go right to the source and avoid the middleman. I don't know. Dr. Clark, I appreciate it, sir. You have a blessed morning.
Take care, Joe.
And that's how you handle it when you're not the smartest guy in the room. You just listen. Dr. Bonner Cohen is on with us from the National Center for Public Policy Research. And believe it or not, in my mind, all these stories do interconnect. But I wanted to talk with you a little bit about Davos, the World Economic Forum, Jane Goodall, depopulation, and the climate con that these folks are still to this day pitching on us with river rain and rain bombs and all of a sudden made up things. It's amazing how the science can be so fanciful in one case and so intractable in another one. How are you doing this morning, sir?
I'm doing very well, Joe.
Who knew that scientists could be so creative? I mean, I've heard atmospheric river rain, which I'm not sure if it's a Broadway show with Irish dancers or not, but atmospheric river rain, and now we've got rain bombs, and bomb, and of course, bomb cyclones came along. And are they just trying out things to see if the American people retweet the stories enough to, like we're a focus group?
Yes, they are. And they are seeing to their satisfaction that an awful lot of this is, in fact, catching on and making its way certainly into the mainstream media. Sadly, picking up on what Dr. Clark was talking about, it will make its way into the classrooms and elsewhere. The object of the game is to scare us to death. To do that, by coming up with expressions, metaphors, whatever it takes. When you have something like an atmospheric river, there is no such thing as an atmospheric river. There can sometimes be meteorological conditions that bring about an extraordinary amount of rain falling on a confined area for an extended period of time. That's not an atmospheric river. There's no such thing. That's just a lot of rainfall. It eventually will move on, and that will be that. But if such expressions succeed in alarming the population to the extent that they more or less passively accept the regulatory burdens that will be placed upon them and the lack of choices they will have in selecting their vehicles or the stoves that they're going to put in their kitchens or anything else, then the use of this language, whether it's in Davos, Switzerland, or Washington, D.C., or in your local elementary school, high school, university, whatever. As long as it's out there and as long as it stirs up the population, intimidates people, then it will serve its larger purpose, which is to put a tremendous amount of power into the hands of a very few people and a tremendous amount of money into the hands of purveyors of alternative energy. That's the game that's being played here. It has nothing to do with the climate whatsoever. The climate is nothing but a pretext for the biggest power grab the world has ever seen.
Doctor, actually, it's funny, you segue with him, but a couple of weeks ago, Clark reminded us of the comments by a Dutch parliamentarian, Ida Auken, at World Economics Forum a couple of years ago, who said, "Welcome to 2030. I own nothing, I have no privacy, and my life has never been better." That's what they want. They want us to... I look at ICLEI and the smart meters, which are in debate here in Virginia in the General Assembly right now, whether to get rid of the requirement to have a smart meter that regulates how much electricity you use, which should be your own consumer choice. But they say...
That's right, but it won't be. Yeah. Smart meters are smart only to the extent that they serve the interest of those who want to take decisions away from you. How warm do you want your home? How cool do you want your home? No, that will no longer be your choice. That will be the choice of a smart meter. Think of it as a spy apparatus, something that would have been very well at home in the old East Germany or the Soviet Union, where you can monitor private behavior, something, by the way, that's very widespread in China today, which leads the world in all of these digital monitoring exercises that they put into place, the purpose of which is to control the population. And that's exactly what the smart meter itself is. It's one of the components of putting power into hands of people who love exercising power over you and do not believe that you're intelligent enough to make those decisions yourself.
Right. And that comes down to the bottom line of it. And I'm talking about your friend mine, Chris Horner, and his eloquent writings on how this is all about money changing. This is about making the unprofitable profitable, forcing you to buy things you wouldn't have bought otherwise, forcing you to pay more for something you may not have even wanted to buy in the first place anyway, and that's why this World Economic Forum, surprisingly, is all about climate change this year. It seems that they finally said, well, yeah, this is going to make this group of people a whole bag full of money, so you have to start living under our dictates.
That's right. And the people who are gather in Davos every year at the World Economic Forum, are already rich and powerful, and they want to become even more rich and powerful. Think of it as a kind of transnational governance that they want to set up and are in the process of setting up. And it's not just governments that are involved here. You see tremendous parts of the private sector, Silicon Valley, but along with a lot of other companies that simply want to get in on the goodies that they think will come their way if a certain regulatory scheme is put into place. They will profit. Government bureaucrats will become even more powerful than they already are. And you have luminaries, the Hollywood types, and along with the John Kerrys and the Al Gores of the world, they're making, in many respects, complete fools of themselves. But they live in an echo chamber where their pronouncements are actually taken seriously. And who ultimately pays the price for all of this? And I'm not just talking about money, though that's certainly no small consideration, but it's your loss of rights, your loss of your ability to make the decisions that you think are best for you and best for your family. That's all going to be taken out of your hands and put into the hands of these self-anointed stewards of the planet.
Bonner Cohen is on with us. He's part of the Committee for a Constructive Tomorrow, CFACT, and on with us from the National Center for Public Policy Research, nationalcenter.org, one of the great minds in debunking and pulling back the curtain on all of this stuff. And we were talking about Virginia and Reggie frequently. I think the last couple of times you're on, we were talking about the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative. And important to the story is this is government. This is political science masquerading as actual science in order to not clean up the environment at all. This is just about money changers getting a hall pass on actually being clean at all. Even the climate agenda of Kyoto ignores the two worst polluters on the planet, China and India. And so it's not about your living better. It's not about you being more prosperous. It's about the rich getting richer and the poor getting poorer. And it doesn't clean up the environment like they claim it does. How are people falling for this?
They're falling for it in part because they're being saturated with propaganda emanating from, sadly, the U.S. government, but also from many state and local governments themselves, boundlessly corrupt and in the hands of purveyors of wind power and solar power. Also, these are people who have been thoroughly indoctrinated themselves and are in the process of indoctrinating others, all in the name of protecting us from what they would have us believe is a severe and deadly threat from a dangerously changing climate, when, as you pointed out, Joe, this is all about money and power. Who has it and who does not? And what they have found out is the climate, or what they would have us to believe is the climate, is the ticket to ride. Because if we don't take urgent action, building an offshore wind farm off the coast of Virginia, which will do an enormous amount of harm and drive up the cost of electricity for Virginia ratepayers into the stratosphere. Nonsense like that, or gigantic solar arrays defiling the beautiful countryside of central Virginia and elsewhere, much of which will wind up going to data centers in suburban Washington, D.C., which service Silicon Valley. These are all cons, and we shouldn't allow ourselves to be brainwashed by this, but let's not fool ourselves. The onslaught into the minds of young people, people of middle age and older people brought on by social media, the mainstream media, the miseducation that goes on, sadly, at all levels of society, K-12, universities. It's the constant drumbeat because these people are absolutely convinced that if they can get us to do things which are manifestly contrary to our own interest, their interest will be served.
We were talking about that wind farm with one of your colleagues at CFACT, and not only does it not help the electric ratepayers, Dominion wants to kite its own checks and cover its own losses because it's not going to create the electricity by their own modeling that they got the state corporation to. Now they've announced that they have some secret partner in this that they won't tell anyone about. Yes, we have a partner in this, but you can't know about it. But we'll take taxpayer money to engross this mystery partner in the development of this wind farm. Oh, and to borrow from Glenn Youngkin's paraphrasing, by the way, also probably going to lead to the extinction of an entire species of whale in the process. Can this be stopped? Is this getting out enough?
If we turn back the clock about 50 or 60 years ago, one of the slogans of the environmental movement then was save the whales.
Right.
Now the environmental movement and businesses which have become a part of it, such as Dominion Energy, now are engaged in a project which will not save the whales at all, but could well lead to the extinction of a certain species of whale called the right whale, which travels up and down the eastern coast of the U.S. If you put these obscene wind turbines out in the ocean, where they will create a barrier for those whales to go to their to the grounds where the females give birth as they make their way north and south, you are putting at peril a species of whale which is already down to just over 300 of them.
Oh my gosh.
Is no justification for this whatsoever.
It's amazing.
We have been told over and over again that we should do everything possible to save endangered and threatened species, and yet here we have a gigantic wind farm proposed for the coast of Virginia, which is not going to provide nearly the amount of electricity that its supporters, including the secret supporter, and we don't know who that is, even though we're constantly told we have the right to know. Well, guess what? We don't.
No.
At least according to the people who are determining, who are making the decisions. And now we're putting a species of whale at risk. For what? Is there any environmental case to be made for this? No, absolutely none whatsoever. Is there any case to be made for this thing producing reliable, affordable electricity? The answer is no, because offshore wind, like onshore wind, is not reliable and it's not affordable. Now, I don't care how many subsidies you dump on that industry, it will never perform. As soon as you put up an offshore wind turbine, it starts losing its energy efficiency immediately, and it declines over the years. These things will have to be replaced about after 15 or 20 years as they become less efficient day after day. That will entail another huge expense to go in, rip those things out, and put another generation of these gigantic, frankly, pieces of garbage, which will, by the way, have to be disposed of somewhere, and I'm sure in an environmentally sound way.
Of course.
And the whole thing repeats itself. Meanwhile, the whales, the right whales that inhabit that area at certain times of the year, will be put at greater risk, and ratepayers in Virginia are going to be taken to the cleaners by the whole scam.
Well, and plus, if something breaks out there, you got to get a boat and a ship and a crew, as opposed to just sending somebody up in a 4x4 to the top of Afton Mountain. It's a crazy place. Bonner Cohen, thank you for helping make sense of it all. NationalCenter.org, CFACT, all of his folks there, you guys, Gabrielle Hoffman. Joe Bastardi has joined you guys as well. And
great guy. Yeah. And so is Gabrielle.
Thank you so much for your time, and we'll talk to you again very soon.
All right. Sounds great.
trusting you to know information from disinformation.
I have the freedom to kill you with my COVID.
Without a government board.
You're mocking me, aren't you?
Oh, no.
WCHV.